Hello, and welcome to The Talkies, a weekly film podcast with me, Michael Henry.
And me, Lucy Smith.
This week, we'll be discussing friendship. Ah, friendship.
I was about to make that noise too.
I thought you would. I predicted it. That's because we're good friends. I can read your mind.
Right, yeah.
Do you think there's a commonality between the friends you have or have had throughout your life?
I think the only commonality I require is mutual effort. If they put in as much effort as I do. But it's weird. A lot of my friends, they're not all one group. I quite like meeting friends separately because you get to actually catch up and find out how they are. I don't really do big groups that much. What about you?
Yeah, I'm the same.
Yeah.
No, I'm the exact same answer. Like, I think the worst thing someone can do is just not make the effort, I think.
Mm. Or like kill your mum or something.
Yeah, that's the worst case scenario. Or one of. But no, I think, yeah, just not making the effort. Although weirdly, that would be making an effort, just a very negative and horrible effort.
Yeah.
I don't know what it would be saying. You'd feel special
in a way.
Yeah. But I think, yeah, just not replying to messages like over a long period of time or just not checking in. Like if you don't check in once a month, it's not really a friendship anymore. You have to maintain it.
I think both of our... No, actually, I'd say your film this week, maybe we should start with yours, is about like the creation of friendship, probably.
Yeah. So my pick for the week is The Station Agent from 2003.
I love this film.
Yeah, me too. It's one of the few films I kind of prescribe to people if they're feeling sad. Like, it's quite short. It's about an hour and 20 minutes. And you're guaranteed to feel happy by the end of it. And by happy, I don't mean it's some, like, cheesy, over-the-top, you know, fake ending. It's very sweet, very down-to-earth.
Mm.
So the synopsis is, when his only friend dies, a man born with dwarfism moves to rural New Jersey to live a life of solitude. Only when he gets there, he meets a really chatty hot dog vendor and a woman who's dealing with her own personal issues, and they strike up a friendship, a very, very unlikely friendship, I would say.
I heard hot dog vendor then, like that you thought he was hot.
Like a pause. Yeah. Well, it's Bobby Cannavale, he's a hot guy, yeah.
He's all right.
But I did mean hot dog vendor. Yeah.
Yeah.
The weird thing about his character is, so the main character is very quiet. He wants to, you know, keep himself to himself. And yeah, that character's the kind of person I think in real life I would probably find annoying. He constantly talks. He constantly needs attention. Mm. But it's so sweet in this film. And you kind of, that's something that's prevalent throughout the whole film. And really, is this really beautiful sincerity and sweetness between all of the people. There's some darkness too, but it's, yeah.
I think there's something naive
about them.
Yeah, that's a good word for it. I was sort of thinking back to how friendship in a lot of ways is very innocent and you're sort of taken back to how you are as children. And yeah, this whole idea of like, there's some like hilarious little meet-cutes in this film. You know, like almost running over and sort of like, yeah, as you say, the guy, the hot dog vendor sort of like knocking on his door every few minutes being like, do you want to play? And yeah, there's just adults turned into kids. I think everyone needs a friend, but adults are scared to admit it sometimes. And
oh, definitely. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think, well, we've talked about this in, I think, the old age episode that it just gets hard. Well, it seemingly gets harder as you get older to do what you used to do, which is, you know, I remember being a kid and going to our local park and you just see some of the kids playing football and go, oh, can we join in? Like, do you want to match against each other?
Yeah.
That's not something that really happens anymore. You kind of, these days, you have to, I don't even know. I don't know what the criteria of making friends is anymore. I think it's different for...
The exception is when you like move, say you like moved country to try and start a job and you sort of knew the language. I think that kicks desperation into a gear where it's like, I've got to make some friends. And in that context, I would probably approach some work colleagues who were like having a kick around. I've no idea what work I'd do where people just randomly play football. But like, I'd be like, can I join in? You know, you like, you stand up for yourself because you need to make some connections. Whereas in your normal life as an adult, you're expected to have all your connections. You're expected to be together and your life has already been thought out and been made and like no more improvements needed kind of thing. By a certain age anyway.
I think that's the reason why a lot of people stay in the same place in terms of they don't move as much. I've noticed a lot of friends from my hometown, they you know, they may have a desire to get out, but they stick there because it's a comfort zone. And it was a big thing for me to move 200 miles away. Like, I didn't know anyone here. It wasn't easy straight away, but I'm very comfortable here now. But it's, I think, yeah, it's something that I think about now. Like, would I, there's places I want to live. I want to live in Berlin, but you know, how easy is it going to be if I'm like 35 and I move to a country where I don't know anyone? I think, I don't know, there's limitations. But then I think you can't stop yourself based on those limitations too.
Yeah, don't act out of fear kind of thing.
Yeah. Well, I wanted to ask, what do you think the ingredients of a good friendship are? You've said making an effort, but is there anything else?
Emotional stuff. Actually caring is a good start. There are people who, quote-unquote, people would call friends that I don't have a lot of them myself. I tend to let them dwindle out, but some people keep them usually for convenience or, you know, just to feel like they have more friends, but you don't really get on with them and you don't actually care how their day went.
I think it's a case of vulnerability as well. Like, if you are willing to be open about how you feel and not being afraid to be emotional, like, I try and lead more so these days than I did in my 20s, but lead the conversation, because, you know, there's limitations with a friendship. But, you know, you'll know someone and you'll hang out a few times, or you'll have plenty of conversations about trivial things. Maybe not trivial, like, I wouldn't classify talking about films trivial, but little things like that where it's not really in aid.
You know what they're going to say.
Yeah, you have common interests maybe, but you don't really have a close friendship until you start opening up about how you feel about things and things that have happened in your past, I think.
Yeah, absolutely. I can remember key points in friendships where I'd say we're already friends because we really get on or whatever, but there's been a day where I don't feel okay and my instinct is to act like I'm fine and I decide to tell them, actually, I'm feeling shit. That's when friendship properly begins for me, I think. And just say it and it all gets better. You actually feel less shit for saying you feel shit. So.
Yeah, they say, what's the saying? A problem shared is a problem halved. I think it's true.
That's friendship. Yeah. And what I like about the station agent is, I think part of the drive of when you first watch the film, why the plot's driving along, is there's a hint of that it's going to be romantic between main guy Peter Dinklage and this woman.
It's Michelle Williams, the librarian, right?
No, I would say the other one. The other blonde.
Oh, the...
what's her name?
I'm drawing a blank. That's going to... Patricia Clarkson.
Yes, her. Yeah, but where it actually starts going is friendship. And you get that hint of romance all the way through, but it doesn't really go anywhere. And the fact is that the film sort of leads you on with that as being like a little device, but hits you at the end with basically friendship is the most important thing. Like, if they got together... Yeah. Yeah, it could have broken up whenever, like, you know, but friendship, that's going to last and their lives have been properly changed by that. So, yeah.
Yeah. And I think the kind of the ending, without spoiling anything, is a perfect, it evokes friendship perfectly. It's very, there's a silent understanding. You're all kind of united and you accept each other and things are just right and calm. Mm. At that point, I think that's the peak of friendship, really, is where you can sit even in silence. And, you know, everything's fine because you're sharing an environment and time with people. But there's, you know, talking about the film, there's a lot of conflict in there. There's times where they kind of clash and, like I say, Peter Dinklage's character kind of finds the Bobby Cannavale's character quite irritating.
Definitely.
But then he's kind of charmed by his warmth and he's someone who's just friends with everyone. He's so nice to everyone.
Like a dog.
Gives kids ice cream, plays... Dog.
Yeah, like a dog.
Oh, like a dog. I thought you just said dog. and there's times where with Patricia Clarkson, they start to hang out, but she's reluctant. And this ties in with the vulnerability thing. So this is someone who's lost her son a few years before and she hasn't really recovered. And she kind of pushes these people away. She doesn't want to talk about it. She doesn't want to confront any issues she has, but they kind of keep coming back as a duo. They keep coming back and they want her to be okay and they want to help her. And I think that's a big thing, really.
There's
it's
a lot
making
of
that kind of effort.
Reluctant friendship. Like, it's that whole thing of giving a character what they need, not what they want. Like, Peter Dinklage's character literally moves to this little, like, station agent's hut to get away from everyone. And yeah, that he's sort of got his friends forced upon him. Like, it's an interesting way of earning friends. Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, I just love the, as you say, the sweetness of the film, the warmth it gives. I remember you saying, I mean, that it's a very good film, but it perhaps doesn't challenge. But the feeling that I get from this film is, if I woke up tomorrow and I was suddenly a filmmaker, I think I'd want to make something similar. I was trying to think why. Like, I can't really say why, but I think it's got a lot to do with the setting, which sounds like a really weird thing to say, but...
No, I get what you mean.
I think the setting can be the whole tone of a film sometimes.
I think, the setting's a big part of it. There's so many things that go kind of unnoticed. There's loads of characters I always forget about too, like the kid on the train, the really annoying duo that I think it's Michelle Williams' character, her boyfriend and his best friend. They're kind of antagonists to Peter Dinklage's character in some ways. And you know, there's loads, I think the main thing that works is the characterization. So rich, and it's not just like, it could easily have been, this for me, this was Peter Dinklage's breakout role. I remember seeing it and going, oh, I don't know if I've seen this guy. He looks familiar. Like, I think maybe he'd been in the background of some things, but never really in a big way. And he's just, like, the acting is brilliant. It's so subtle. And the thing I was trying to get to, really, is it's not just about dwarfism, which I'm so glad it's not. Like, it could be so easy to be like, oh, he's struggling because he's the little guy, and then he's triumphant at the end. It's like, no, he just happens to be that. And
yeah,
it works for me because of the human element, where you just go, he's just like everyone else. He just struggles to connect, needs friends. And that's why I think the actual friendships he makes, they don't really look at him in that way. They just accept it. And that's why I think that's the sweetness that comes across.
Yeah. And yeah, they do right by it. They don't ignore it. They're not like, he's like everyone else, because he's not. But they also celebrate it a bit. And yeah, it's good.
Yeah. Acceptance. That's a key ingredient of a friendship, I'd say.
I think one thing that might tie our picks together is this idea that, so friends become in family. And when does that happen? Because I would say by the end of The Station Agent, they've created a family.
Definitely, yeah.
Yeah, and I was sort of looking at friends that become family, but also finding friendship within your family. I think it's all just about, like, close bonds. And
I feel like that's where our picks are slightly different, is that, you know, you have said mine is more about friends becoming family, whereas yours does have the element of that plus becoming friends with family rather than friends as family. Do you want to introduce your pick?
Yeah, sure. So my pick is 20th Century Women. I saw this film, I went alone in like a little cinema in Belfast and absolutely loved it. And yeah, it's basically about this woman in her 50s raising a teenage son in the 1970s with the help of her three lodgers who aren't family. They just sort of live there. And yeah, I guess throughout she's trying to work out this like bridge between being almost like a cool mum who talks about everything with her son, and doesn't have to be too disciplinarian, can just sort of hang out with him and get to know him, versus he's in trouble, I need to be a mum.
Well, also them finding a way to communicate is a big thing that I think that's the emotional core of it, is that she's kind of helping other people with their problems, and she asks for the help of some of her lodgers and also a friend of her son to just like look out for him and make sure he's okay and this kind of thing. But she doesn't really know how to communicate with him despite being open, if that makes sense. Like, they're close, but they don't have that freedom until later in the film, I would say.
Yeah, and she's constantly surprised by how familiar he is with her. Like, he'll ask her questions like, are you happy? Or he'll sort of have a go at her in a very adult way, which she's probably taught him herself.
Yeah.
But she's just taken aback by that, and it's just really interesting to see, yeah, how much connection can you have with current family members, and how much of what you think they are can you put aside to actually get to know them and be friends with them?
Yeah, and I'd like to point out as well, I think it's a great pick purely because it covers pretty much every aspect of potential friendships. You've got platonic friendships, you've got unrequited love, you've got acquaintances, you've got like the familial elements, like you've said. There isn't really any element I went in to rewatch it and I couldn't remember how much it was about friendship. I was thinking, oh, maybe it's just about the mum becoming the friend to the son. But rewatching it, yeah, there's every aspect of a friendship, I think, in there, either good and the bad too.
Yeah, and I love the idea. Everyone's so open. It's another kind of sweet, quirky film as well. But there's this idea that at one point she asks one of the lodgers to share her life with her son. And she does. She like takes him out, tells him everything. And it's kind of that thing, like how much, where does friendship start? Is it when you know everything about someone, or is it more than that? Because she shares so much and it's sort of like...
Yeah, well, I think you can sometimes, just because you say something that's true, that's happened to you, or you admit something, or you open up something, it's how you do it. Like, I've told people very personal things, but I haven't done it with feeling. I've just gone like, oh, that's a fact. And the other person might think, oh, this person trusts me and they've told me something, but how you say it, I think.
And how it's received.
Makes a difference. Yeah, there's moments in this where the girl he's romantically interested in, who's been his friend for years, she opens up about stuff in a very frank way, showing that they're friends, and she's emotional. He doesn't want to hear it though, because obviously of the fact he really loves her and everything. But yeah, I think the way she reveals information is what I'm trying to say, is if it's emotional, that's kind of, I don't know. I don't know if I'm making a point here at all.
Yeah, I get what you mean. And it's like, I think friendship shows up in all sorts of relationships, and because yeah, I don't quite know what the definition of family is either in this context. But
yeah, well, that's something I want to ask, is because you've spoken about this before. I think because you're friends with your family essentially, aren't you? Like you do have a friendship type situation.
My mum especially.
Maybe not with everyone, but yeah.
Yeah, and that's sort of grown. I think my parents have done a really good job of sort of. They know me from growing up, but they've also sort of shaked off what they assume they know of me and have let me be me. And
yeah,
we've bonded over things on top of my whole upbringing. It's really nice.
See, I find it weird. I think I said this before. I find it weird when people, it kind of wigs me out. I think there's a degree of it. I've known people who will tell their family everything, and to the point where I'm like, you shouldn't maybe say that thing.
Yeah.
I don't know if you're at that level, but it kind of wigs me out in general that people treat family as friends. I know it's kind of supposed to be a given, but it's not really how I behave. Well, I don't know, I like a bit of distance.
What sort of ingredients would you say are in a friendship then, and like what would be missing in some family relationships?
Well, I think shared interests is a good thing. That's a good place to start with people. I'd say most of the people, I'm kind of drawn to people who seem active in having like their own opinions, their own style, interests, like yourself. You have a very distinct style and you kind of stand out for that. Sorry, I'm losing my voice, but I'm so emotional. yeah, I think most of my friendships now kind of arise out of creative work. So it's like a working relationship. It's quite nomadic.
So that intellectual side.
Yeah, not even just intellectual, but you have a shared interest or a shared passion and you're working on something together. I think it's easier to, in my opinion, the easiest way to make a friend with someone is to be working on something with them. So, I mean, that's not necessarily true of just work colleagues, but if you're working towards the same thing, I do think that's kind of, I don't know, I feel like sometimes I need a thing for us to gravitate around rather than just approach.
If nothing else, a knowledge that you will see them next time, like it's not up to you guys to decide whether or not it'd be awkward to meet again. It's like, I will see you next week and we will continue building our relationship. It's like simulating school again, where it was so easy to make friends.
So I guess maybe this isn't true of everyone, but I like that kind of structured, you have a reason to be hanging out and something forms naturally.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's different. I don't know. I find it different. I don't know if it's just a guy thing, but I do know, I have female friends who they've met friends who they're now like really close friends with purely by going, oh, I love that you've got that. And oh, someone else opens up and they start saying, oh, I've had a bad time recently. Or I'm looking like, can we be friends? Basically just being frank saying, can we be friends? That idea terrifies me, just going up to them, can we be friends? There's nothing, it sounds more desperate, I think. Depending on
I'm
the
exactly the same, but I do literally have a housemate right now who meets by, like, they'll see someone on someone's Instagram story, be like, oh, that's cool, do you want to meet up, is what they message them, and then they're like best friends now.
That sounds crazy. Great. It's crazy to me, but yeah, I guess that ties in with my upbringing too, like bringing it back around to what you asked. I think clear communication is a big thing, like all the things you've said before, like making the effort. I don't know, I think maybe there's a disconnect in some ways, and now I have an unwillingness to want to share some stuff because it can just be awkward. That's how I feel. I don't know.
Hmm.
Without getting too much into it, obviously.
Yeah. I don't know. I had another thing about this film. Her boy in 20th Century Women keeps saying, oh, don't mind my mum, she was raised in the Depression.
Yeah.
And his thing with that is everyone raised everyone. And I wonder if it's the structure of families, which means we don't have as many friendships within it. Because imagine like a family where your neighbours and your aunties all came round and all had a different role in raising you, which is what the mum's trying to create here.
Yeah.
That encourages way more friendships. You know, oh, I've got this in common with this auntie and my godmother does this and my neighbour does that. And you can like just let the pressure off just being like him and his mum. And that's it. And they have to get on about everything. Like, you don't. And that's the same with friends. Like, you can go to different friends for different things. So maybe bigger families, could be easier with friendships. I don't have that big a family.
Well, something I've noticed as well is people, because I'm an only child, I think people who grow up with siblings, that makes a difference too. Because you're kind of, you're battling for attention, or you've always had someone around to talk to. Whereas I grew up and had my imagination. So that sounds really lonely. I had loads of friends as a kid. But I mean, I spent a lot of time alone, just like playing and coming up with imagine. Like, I remember pretending to be in films and like, you know, cowboys and Indians and all that kind of stuff, just in the garden, like rolling around and all this kind of thing.
On your own?
Yeah. With friends too sometimes. But obviously at home, you know, between like, you know, on a weekend maybe when friends weren't out and about.
Yeah.
I would play on my own, yeah. Which I think is maybe where my creative outlook on life has maybe come from. I don't know.
Okay. I mean, I have a sibling and we don't really have much in common growing up. And yeah, he would like poke fun at me all the time. So we didn't really play together either. But I guess there was that unspoken like teamwork against the parents if we were being naughty or whatever.
And you said that as you've got older, you've kind of become closer as friends in some ways because you kind of make the effort when one of you is in need.
Yeah, that's it. You make choices and you make the effort. Whereas family is often not about them making the choice to get on with each other.
Yeah,
and
I think
friendship is about making
kind of
that choice.
There's a weird social contract with family, I think, that you kind of have to be nice to each other and you have to, well, you should. But it's just a weird, it's a weird situation. Whereas with friends, I've done this a lot in the past where if we're not getting along anymore, I'll just be like, it's like a breakup. You're like, all right, well, I'm not going to hang out with that person because I don't enjoy it anymore. I've cut out a lot of people that way.
I think it's so destroying for a family not to believe that they need to earn respect and trust and to be liked, like that it's not no longer needs to be earned because blood's thicker than water. I think that's where everything starts to go.
Do you think there's an ideal or dream friendship? Like, can you think of a... Is there any other people you've seen that can be famous or in day-to-day life where you go, that's kind of the goal, I think?
Ah, the danger of that. Oh, do you mean friendship looking at it objectively or someone I would like to be friends with?
The first one. So someone you're like, they're cool, I want to be friends, but a dynamic.
I was going to say that's dangerous.
No, I mean like a dynamic where you're like, that's it. That's what it should be.
See, thing is with like celebrities and stuff, you never know really the ins and outs of it.
True, but I have a very specific duo in mind. So
go on,
Mel Brooks, who made like Blazing Saddles and Young Frankenstein, he was best friends with a guy called Carl Reiner, and I think they're both still alive actually. And there's loads of behind the scenes comedy documentaries where they get into cut because they hang out every single day and have dinner with each other, and I think that's why they've lived to over the like in their 90s because They make the effort to hang out with each other. They treat each other like family when there isn't as many people around. And it's considered to be like one of the best friendships in Hollywood because they still make each other laugh. They still make the effort with each other and, you know, make sure the other one's taken care of. And I think that's think that's kind of it.
Yeah, especially in Hollywood where there's so many sharks, it's kind of like the loyalty means more.
Yeah.
I like that.
Well, yeah. I've had a similar thing. It's not quite the same, but my best friend Paul, I think it's when you notice that someone's making the effort when they don't have to.
Yeah.
So I've been through like breakups and had all sorts of stuff go on, and he'll be the first one to call and send stuff to make sure I'm all right, and every birthday, and, you know, checking in regularly. And, you know, I got asked to be his best man at his wedding, and that meant so much to me. It was like, oh, you do think that I'm you do think I'm your best friend, we do have this connection. It kind of legitimized it a little bit.
Yeah, you need those tokens of, as you say, like legitimization as well. I think every now and again there needs to be like, we've earned this badge.
Well, even as part of the best man speech, I included the fact that he's the one who, in my opinion, he's the one who taught me how to be a good friend. Like, he led by example. I would get caught up in my own creative work and chaotic life and probably be neglecting him and other people. But because he was constantly making the effort, he kind of killed it with kindness in a way. Hmm. I was like, actually, yeah, I need to be more like him. And he's, you know, he's not someone who, it's not like I'm his only friend. He's got loads of people who think of him this way. But I think, yeah, I learned a lot just through realizing people will be in bad situations, like you become yourself, and they won't make the effort to reach out to you. You kind of have to make the effort to check on them, I think.
Mm. Yeah, and I don't think that sort of effort is ever wasted in a selfish way. It makes people feel good to reach out. And...
Yeah, I think it's, yeah, I think it's definitely like a cycle there where you kind of, you feel good for helping, but also... if it depends what your intentions are, I guess. But
one more thing that I wanted to say about 20th century women was about, so they are like trying to work out themselves and each other, and this idea of like sharing too much or not quite understanding relationships, I think it's some of the best characters I've ever seen. I really love the writing. I think
Mike Mills is one of the best character directors around, and I wanted to thank you for picking this film, because any excuse for me to watch Annette Bening, I'll take it. She's one of the best actors ever.
Yes.
Have you seen Mike Mills' previous film, Beginners?
No, I did look him up though, and no, sorry, go on about Beginners.
I don't want to get too much into what it's about. It's based on his, pretty much everything in his films is based on stuff that's happened to him. So the mother relationship is like his relationship with his mother. And okay. Beginners was about his dad came out as gay in really late in life, I think 60s, 70s. And it's someone dealing with the dad's about to die, or he's just died, and he starts to reflect on the key moments in his life and when his dad came out and this kind of stuff. I prefer that to 20th Century Women. I love 20th Century Women, but I think if you watch Beginners, you'll be like, wow, okay. He's so good with character. There's so much detail and care, and yeah, very good.
I'm interested in, he's got a film coming out soon with Joaquin Phoenix, right?
Oh, yeah, Come On, Come On.
Yeah. I haven't seen anything more about it, but I was just like, ooh, yes.
I looked it up today. It's about someone going on a road trip with a nephew, and I think, I'm guessing it's Joaquin Phoenix and a character, an actor playing his nephew, so.
There we go. Mike Mills is very into family/friend relationships and exploring that, it looks like.
And it's good that he's figured out what his niche is. Like, he's very good at it. Like, he, I think it's, I don't know if it's his debut, but the film before Beginners was called Thumbsucker. It's about a lad who's like 16, 17, and he's still sucking his thumb. And the kind of, it's more of a comedy, than there's less drama in there, but it deals with the same thing. It's like people not being able to communicate in the family and friendships, and how that's kind of disrupted with his compulsive behaviour. Yeah, very good. We highly recommend Mike Mills' films.
Yes.
And same with the guy who directed Station Agent, Tom McCarthy. He directed, of all things, he directed Station Agent and Spotlight, which is one of the darkest journalist-based films around.
Ah, okay.
But again, he's great with character and, you know, detail of character, I think. And friendships. I think that's in there too. Oh, one thing I was gonna add before we finish is, I can picture you being the Annette Bening character when you're older. Like, her dress style is very similar. She's very open and against the grain. Don't take that the wrong way. I can see that.
I'm not always sure about her dress sense, but I do like her. I think she's one of those people, again, overlapping with old age, but she's got later in life and she's still exploring and doesn't assume she knows everything. I love that.
Yeah. Well,
and
she's
still willing to make friendships.
I think as a character as well, it's kind of a rare thing where it's aspirational. Like, she's someone that you'd look at and be like, oh yeah, that's how I would like to be. That's how I'd like to. She's still making friends with all the people in her building, and they're all different ages. And she invites the fire brigade, not all of it, but she invites a couple of fire, what's the word, firemen. Invites a couple of firemen.
Yeah, she invites anyone and everyone back to dinner all the time, and just always wants to get to know people.
Yeah.
I think just she hasn't lost any curiosity, and that's the kind of people who keep making friends into later life. I like it.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Thank you for listening to The Talkies. This week's episode was Friendship. Let us know what you think. We'd love to hear from you, and remember to tune in for next week's episode.